"Do you know who owns United Fruit?" he asked. "Zapata Oil, George Bush's company, our UN ambassador." "A man with ambitions." He leaned forward and lowered his voice. "And now I'm up against his cronies at Bechtel." This startled me. Bechtel was the world's most powerful engineering firm and a frequent collaborator on projects with Maine. In the case of Panama's master plan, I had assumed that they were one of our major competitors. "What do you mean?" "We've been considering building a new canal, a sea-level one, without locks. It can handle bigger ships. The Japanese may be interested in financing it."
"They're the canal's biggest clients."
"Exactly. Of course, if they provide the money, they will do the construction." It struck me. Bechtel will be out in the cold. "The biggest construction job in recent history." He paused. "Bechtel's president is George Shultz, Nixon's Secretary of the Treasury. You can imagine the clout he's got, and a notorious temper. Bechtel's loaded with Nixon, Ford, and Bush cronies. I've been told that the Bechtel family pulls the strings of the Republican Party." This conversation left me feeling very uncomfortable. I was one of the people who perpetuated the system he so despised, and I was certain he knew it. My job of convincing him to accept international loans in exchange for hiring U.S. engineering and construction firms appeared to have hit a mammoth wall. I decided to confront him head on. "General," I asked, "why did you invite me here?" He glanced at his watch and smiled. "Yes, time to get down to our own business. Panama needs your help. I need your help." I was stunned. "My help? What can I do for you?" "We will take back the canal, but that's not enough." He relaxed into his chair. "We must also serve as a model. We must show that we care about our poor, and we must demonstrate beyond any doubt that our determination to win our independence is not dictated by Russia, China, or Cuba. We must prove to the world that Panama is a reasonable country, that we stand not against the United States, but for the rights of the poor." He crossed one leg over the other. "In order to do that, we need to build up an economic base that is like none in this hemisphere. Electricity, yes, but electricity that reaches the poorest of our poor and is subsidized. The same for transportation and communications, and especially for agriculture. Doing that will take money, your money, the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank." Once again, he leaned forward. His eyes held mine. "I understand that your company wants more work, and usually gets it by inflating the size of projects, wider highways, bigger power plants, deeper harbors. This time is different, though. Give me what's best for my people, and I'll give you all the work you want."